we'll start with that top story on Shamina Begum, the teenager who left the UK to join the Islamic State group. Now, she is currently in a detention camp in northern Syria after IS fighters were driven from the region. The Foreign Secretary, Jeremy Hunt, says the decision makes him very uncomfortable. That is, of course, to revoke her UK citizenship and actually provide legal aid for her to fight that. So what do you reckon? You yourself, you're the taxpayer, you pay for legal aid. Do you think that Shamina, like many other UK residents, should be allowed to apply and be granted that if she fits the criteria? What do you reckon? Or maybe you think as a taxpayer it's unfair. Joining me on the line, we have commentator Andre Murphy. Good morning, Andre.
Hiya, Vinny.
And the barrister and former MP, Gerry Hayes. Hello, Gerry.
Good morning, Vinny.
So she can now qualify at a time to get legal aid when other people, due to cutbacks and changes, are not allowed to. They don't meet that threshold, Gerry. And many will say this is very unfair.
Well, absolutely right, particularly the bereaved at the Westminster terrorist attack. At the inquest, every government department is represented. There's no legal aid for the family. If you are a mum or dad and you want to get your kids back from social services, being taken into care, you're not going to get legal aid for it. So I think those people feel, and rightly so, that this is unfair. But the law is the law. This is a woman who is entitled to it. This is an independent government body, independent of government body, which is responsible for this. And, of course, there is a long tradition, it's a good tradition, that people, no matter how wicked, are entitled to due process and proper representation. So legally it's right, but morally it is absolutely reprehensible.
What chance does she have without legal aid, in terms of to have herself represented, to be able to defend herself and to fight for a reversal of this decision?
Well, I think it goes slightly beyond that, because she has abandoned this country. She has made it absolutely clear that she supports ISIS and all its work, doesn't really care about finding a few severed heads in waste paper baskets, and if what he said in the press is true, has been really up to her ears in sort of assisting the terrorists. That's the difficulty, but she's entitled to it. But a lot of people will be very, very angry.
You mentioned it was morally reprehensible, Gerry. What do you mean by that?
Well, morally reprehensible, here's a person who still supports, from what she said, acts of terrorism. He doesn't give a damn about the British way of life. She's abandoned her country. She went over to Syria. She went over, perhaps not to fight, but certainly to assist, and really doesn't care about us. And therefore, hasn't she, abandoned her rights to be represented?
Okay.
The law says no, but I think common sense is, well, yes.
Andre Murphy?
Hiya. I would say, to be honest, Vinny, that I would agree with about 70% of what Gerry said there. You know, the legal aid system and the cuts that have happened to it have been absolutely devastating for very many people. And, you know, particularly in the family courts, as Gerry mentioned there, there's some heartbreaking stories around, you know, people having access to legal representation and having to fund their own cases and things like that. Absolutely appalling. But at the end of the day, I'm not sure that you would find a case that was actually more in need of legal aid or something that is in terms of its implications for law than this case. So, of course, you need to ensure that there's access to justice around it. You know, and we can't pitch one case against another pitch in terms of which do we think is more morally of value. In order to run a justice system, the law must be blind and, you know, it cannot be subject to political favour or who we think is a good victim or a bad victim of a justice system in order to give them legal aid. We need to be doing this on an equal playing field. And, of course, this Tory government has completely decimated where legal aid is at. We've seen our own barristers, and in particular, and the solicitors, really in our own jurisdiction speaking so strongly about it. And the implications it has for ordinary people, people without means, and their access to justice. So I think that you have two arguments. Should this woman who, you know, in terms of the case that it raises and the implications around it, very contested without a doubt, and, you know, it's probably not wise to get into the individual case in terms of where it sits, but it's certainly on the basis of where it stands legally and the importance of it, and whether a Home Secretary can strip someone of their citizenship, the enormity of that absolutely is provides the basis for legal aid. But we can't pitch her case against the person who's going into the family courts without legal aid. We need to ensure that there's a legal, that there is a level playing field for everybody.
Yeah, but the rules are the rules. So do we start Gerry Hayes to decide who we like, who we feel should be allowed? Because you simply either qualify for legal aid or you don't.
Yeah, that's the problem. The law is very clear. Can I just correct something which was said a moment ago? The Home Secretary does, as a matter of law, have the right to strip someone of their UK citizenship if they are regarded as a threat to the United Kingdom, a really serious threat to the United Kingdom. The trouble is, you can't pick and choose. This is the difficulty. And it goes back to the old problem, and that is legal aid has been slashed. Actually, it started under the Labour government, so it's just carried on doing it. And we cannot carry on like this anymore. Everybody is suffering, and that is what is so irritating and makes people like me and members of the public so angry. People are being denied justice who deserve justice, and what they might just say is, she doesn't deserve it. But yeah. we can't pick and choose.
Many will agree with you. 030 30 80 55 55. It's important to point out as well that due to those changes in legal aid and who qualifies, there has been a fivefold increase in the number of people representing themselves in the last 6 years. But is that the answer, Andre, or is that surely not just compounding the problem?
Well, it does. And what it does is say that people with means then have access to justice, and people without means do not. And none of us want to see that kind of situation, which kind of puts the judicial system and the legal system back hundreds of years, not just decades. So, and Gerry's right, of course, the previous Labour government started this process, and it's been accelerated over the past number of years. You know, and so, and where do we end up? We end up in this discussion this morning. Who is a more deserving person than another person? And we simply can't do that. We need to ensure that there is a comprehensive legal aid system that gives everyone.
But does that not happen to an extent? Maybe not on a personal level, but people, you know, they qualify or they don't. There are restrictions or guidelines.
Yeah.
So we are deciding between, you know, one criminal case and another. We are giving someone priority over someone else.
And that's what cuts do, and this idea of restricting the means available, because the people who have to make the decisions about how they're going to use that ever-decreasing pot of money, where they are going to put it, have to make those kind of options and choices. And really, you know, they're the sort of choices that, when an adequately funded system, do not have to come into play. And, you know, so it does speak to far... I think the policy of how we fund our justice system is actually the issue that is far more important than individual cases and us, you know, sitting in our homes or whatever, making some sort of judgment.
Well, yeah, that's a fair point. The real problem is that this whole argument over Ms. Begum could be conflated with criminality generally. Why should we give Mr. Warboys a legal aid? We don't give him legal aid at all. We give his legal advice. No matter how wicked you are entitled to due process. And the real worry is people will be so outraged at what has happened with Ms. Begum, her being granted legal aid. They'll then start trying to pick and choose. Well, if he's a drug dealer, he shouldn't do it. If he's a murderer, if he's a trial killer, he shouldn't get legal aid. And this is the danger, where the real problem is justice on the cheap is not justice at all.
The system is means tested, Gerry Hayes. So do you know where that threshold is?
Yes, I do. I tell you, it's about, I can only talk on crime, and I can only talk for the Crown Court. We're talking about £32,000 a year.
Well, surely that's living in a detention camp in northern Syria will fall within that.
Oh yes, there's no problem with that. Oh no. She passes all the tests. Very, very serious, depriving citizenship, it's a matter of national security, and you have a special commission dealing with it. Let's just go back to what you're talking about in the means test generally. Certainly, on crime, about £32,000, and the real problem is, if you're a nurse and a teacher, or a teacher, or someone on that sort of level, professional level, you will not be entitled to legal aid. And you could be accused of an offence. You'll either sell your house, and you may not get the money back even if you're acquitted, or you represent yourself. That is just wrong.
There's also a merits test, Gerry, and a public attitude test.
Yes.
So where are we with that? Because surely the outrage that has been sparked by this should be taken into account.
Yeah, but this is a different system. What we're talking about with Ms. Begum is very different. The main test is it national security? Yes, it is.
My question is really, do you believe that should the public outrage, should that be brought into the consideration on this case?
No, I don't think it should. We have a court of justice. We don't have a court of public opinion. Otherwise, the Daily Mail will just rule the country.
Yeah, but why then have that public attitude test in there?
Well, they don't have a public attitude test for the special commission. They just don't. Because if you just take it, I think it's the public interest. Is the public interest? Is there an important point of law involved? And of course, it is an important point of law which has to be considered. That's what they mean by the public interest, not whether the Daily Mail or the Sun or the Mirror says this is absolutely outrageous. It's a legal definition. We can't have, good heavens, we can't have radio presenters saying who's going to get legal aid or not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's take some calls on this. I'll come back to you in a second, Andre. Sorry. Let's go to Margaret in Belfast. First call of the day. Morning, Margaret. Go ahead.
Good morning, Vinnie. I would just like to have my point of view, Vinnie. I think it's totally wrong for that young girl to even think about putting in for legal aid because she joined a terrorist group.
When she was 15?
Yes. And when she knew what she was doing, she shouldn't have done that because you play with fire and you get burnt.
Yeah, but she was a child. That's the point I'm trying to make, Margaret. Do you have children yourself?
No, I don't.
Well, if you had a child, if you had someone that you know, a niece or nephew who was 15 years old.
But I tell you something, then I say even when she had her child. Now, if anybody, nobody ever brought it up, but I'm bringing it up. You watch that with that when she came on the TV with that wee one. That wee one's face was always covered in that there, so it wasn't getting the proper oxygen in it and that.
Okay, I think that's a different point. And we should say, you brought up the fact that she had a child. She's actually had three children.
Well, three. But even if we go to their countries, we have to abide by their laws and that. So, I mean, you're talking about her wanting to come over here and have legal aid, where people over here are actually fighting for legal aid.
But she is from the UK, so, she's wanting to return home. I get the point you're making, but the point I'm trying to make is, when she joined the Islamic State group, she was 15 years old. She was, in every sense of the word, a child. She has since had three children who have all died. You know, she does want to return home now, so should we show any compassion?
No, I don't. I'm sorry, no. I don't. Because, people over here have to go through a lot of red tape for to get legal aid and fight for legal aid. And the proper ones that should be getting it isn't getting it. They're still fighting for legal aid now, and they're putting in for this young girl. And, I mean, she doesn't even live over here.
Andre?
Well, I mean, you know, that's exactly why we need to ensure that the system is taken away from public opinion, because clearly there's a lot of heat around this case. And you've raised some of the complexity that this girl faces in terms of, you know, was she trafficked? You know, was there a view that she might have done that? Was there an abuse? We absolutely don't know what's happened to her. And she has been bereaved, as you say, of three children during that time. If we put this into a court of public opinion as to whether she should have access to justice, it's not only unfair, it's also a little bit tawdry. We need to rise it above that, and we need to ensure that people do have access to justice. And I'll give you an example of something.
No matter what.
Well, everyone can have an opinion, which is why we need to ensure that our legal system is above that, and that we do it on a set of rules.
You're entitled to have your opinion, and not where other people's entitled to theirs. So everybody has different opinions.
Okay, one at a time. Let's let Andre finish, and then I'll bring you back in.
if we were to take the case of the Birmingham Six and we were to say that, you know, there was a very contested case and they were receiving legal aid in order to appeal their convictions, people would have had a very, in the court of public opinion, they probably wouldn't have got legal aid. And it turned out that they were completely innocent after spending decades in prison and then they were subsequently released. It is legal aid that allows for that, which is against the court of public opinion, but is absolutely in the interest of justice and wider society overall. And that's where we need to be.
Okay, Margaret?
I just want to say, and I mean, that everybody can take their own opinion and nobody should fall out with either one or the other, because if she's going to have her say to say that she agrees with that, that's fine. But I'm allowed to have my point of view as well. And okay. I can say just leave it at that.
Okay, Margaret, thank you. Brian in Lambay. Good morning, Brian.
Hi, Vinny. Whenever you're having to discuss the likes of black letter law, you have to take the emotion out of it. Now, the Home Secretary has said that they are legally entitled to strip this young girl of her citizenship. Well, international law says you can't make a citizen stateless. Now, they are saying, we're doing it for two reasons. We're doing it because she's a threat to national security, and we're doing it because she's dual nationality. Well, the Home Secretary has to prove that. They just can't say it at a flick of a pen.
Well, Jerry Hayes, Jerry knows the legal process more than any of us on here. So, Jerry, your response to that?
Right. Firstly, under the 2003 Act, the Home Secretary is entitled to strip someone of their citizenship. Yes, you're right. He has to prove it. And there will be evidence, I suspect, from all sorts of people. If someone is of dual nationality, then you can do it because you can't make someone stateless. And the argument, I understand, and I don't think this was a political decision by the Home Secretary, because he knew this was going to come to court and he would have taken advice from some of the top people. Firstly, Bangladesh, and there's an argument there. Secondly, she's married to a Dutch national. There's an argument there. So this is a really important point of law. But say that the Home Secretary, and I know you didn't, but the suggestion was, can just sort of say, oh, no, we're going to strip you of your citizenship. You just can't do that. It's against the law, our own law, and it's against the international treaty.
Jeremy Corbyn.
Exactly what I've just said, Vinny. That has to be proven in a court of law, that the Home Secretary has the powers to do that. It can't be proven in the court of law where this young girl is put on Skype from Syria to defend herself. So, yeah, it is in the public interest for this case to be heard and to be heard in a correct manner. So she should be given legal aid in the public interest, not in her interest, in the interest of the public and the future of this country going forward.
What do you say then, Brian, just to people that will say, well, when it comes to legal aid, that is paid for by the taxpayer. So their money, this is coming from your salary, your wages, the tax you pay on that. And keeping in mind the decision that she made to go and join a terrorist group.
Okay, Vinny, then what we're talking about then is the misuse of the public purse. So say, for example, a woman steals a pair of jeans from Tesco's worth £10. They take it to the Crown Court and she's prosecuted, and it costs £45,000 to prosecute her, and she gets a 6-month suspended sentence. Is that good use of the public purse? When it comes to the law, the public purse is bottomless. So if we're going to start saying, this is wasting money on this silly woman, what about every day if you go down to the court and people have got solicitors and barristers for the most trivial of offences, but the law says they are entitled to it? We all are citizens of the United Kingdom, and we're all entitled to justice no matter how financially sound we are.
Well, that goes back to your initial point, Brian. Remove the emotion. You're either entitled, you qualify for legal aid, or you don't. Brian, thank you. Seamus and Derry, good morning, Seamus.
Hello, how are you doing? I just have a wee slant on this. Many an MI5 officer and many a British soldier came to Ireland to commit an act of terrorism, and they were welcomed and back into England again. Now, one of them, Soldier F, they had a big whole hoo-ha at the weekend.
Well, let's just not go into that.
The government are paying for his defence.
Okay, what do you make it in this example? What are your thoughts on Shamina Begum?
Well, she's born in the UK and she should be entitled to come back. She shouldn't be stateless. She should, if she has a case to answer, then bring her back and give her a case to answer. But the likes of Soldier F, who's been
I'm asking you not to go into that, Seamus. I've already asked you a couple of times, so we'll just leave it at that. Just because it is a live case, let's just protect ourselves and try and avoid that. Andre Murphy, I was going to mention earlier, Jeremy Corbyn, he has said the whole point of legal aid is that if you are facing a prosecution, then you're entitled to be represented. And that's a fundamental rule of law, a fundamental point in any democratic society.
Yeah, well, I think that we'd all agree with that. And you know, the idea that you wouldn't have that, that we would create now a system because of austerity or because of economic circumstances where that could be mitigated, or that we would make moral judgments before even legal processes happen. Because if you don't have representation, that means that the legal processes are completely skewed against you on who's the good guy and who's the bad guy. Law has to be blind. In terms of you know, the previous caller and the point he was raising, I would talk about the inquest courts, where you know, you have circumstances where maybe the state has been involved in the killing or alleged to have been involved in the killing through collusion. You will see a whole swathe of state actors being represented by different barristers and solicitors. And the family who may have been bereaved will be sitting there and will have had to prove that they meet the income thresholds in order to get legal aid and to be able to sit there, and they will have one set of representatives. Now, that can feel very intimidating, but also shows that there's an imbalance that can happen there. And they have had to go through sometimes multiple processes in order to get that legal aid. So it is always kind of skewed in favour of the state and against those who may be contesting it anyway. So to try and diminish that even further would mean that the state really does have the upper hand and always does have the resources to which they never have to argue for, are never quantified, and yet the victims of state abuses or where they want to contest state policies are consistently in the position where they have to do that. And that certainly does skew processes.
Okay, I want to play...
Can I just...
Yes, Jerry, go ahead.
Because she's absolutely right. What happens in coroner's courts is an absolute disgrace. There was a report by a chap called Lord Back, he used to be a justice minister under Tony Blair, 2017. He just said there should be legal aid for inquests for bereaved families when the state is represented. The government response, actually about 3 or 4 weeks ago, was no. Lawyers would only mess things up. And by the way, it would cost between £30 and £70 million. That is just wrong. And I gave an example a little bit earlier of the bereaved families of the Westminster terrorist attack. They don't have any representation at all. Every government department. Now, that is just plain wrong and not fair.
Senior lawyers argue that whether the state can simply remove the Britishness of someone or anyone born in Britain is an example of just the kind of case where legal aid is essential. I want you to have a listen to this. It's a clip from Richard Miller from the Law Society.
It is essential to the rights of every single one of us that if the government makes a decision that affects our lives, or if an individual breaches our rights, that we have a fair process that we can turn to ensure that our rights are upheld.
Let's go back to the phones. Harold in Tyrone. Good morning, Harold.
I'm wondering if this lady was, and ISIS were still fighting away, or maybe even winning some of their battles, would she be really interested in coming back? Or all these other ones that left them out there? They'll be still supporting them 100%. And she has no regrets on anything that she's done.
Do you take into consideration her age at all when she did leave? She was 15 years old.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, at 15 she made the decision. She wasn't that she was forced to go out at 15. She made that decision at 15. You make a decision to put your hand in the fire, you'll get burned at 15.
There is a difference, though, surely, Harold, in decisions that you make when you are 15 and when you're, say, 30 or 40. And I know you say that she wasn't forced, but we're not aware if perhaps there was some kind of grooming process that was undertaken there, which we would look at very differently when someone is a child, surely, than when someone's an adult.
Well, at the end of the day, there has been some grooming going on. But the point is this, you know, when she decides to go out there and support the thing, and even at 15, she made a conscious decision to go out there and support it because she was in favour of it.
Have you any children yourself, Harold?
I'm only 15. 15. But at the end of the day, we have had plenty of children who have committed murder and have murdered again at young ages. And, you know, she had seen beheading and it never annoyed her, she said. And, you know, people like that, you know, all the people in this country who have been murdered and have wanted to get legal aid haven't been able to get it.
Yeah, and I guess that it keeps coming back to that personal element of it, Gerry Hayes. People cannot remove the personal. And the chances are, if you're looking for legal aid, for if you're trying to defend yourself, you're being accused of doing something wrong, and it's very tough to distance yourself from that.
Yeah, of course it is. But the whole of the legislation of the Secretary of State being able, or Home Secretary being able to remove someone's citizenship was really designed well before ISIS was even a gleam in somebody's eye. It was someone who's considered to be a threat to the state who lives within the jurisdiction. The difference between this particular case, she abandoned the jurisdiction and she went out to join these people. The next question is, is this going to start a precedent? Are there going to be a lot of other people in the same boat? And should the government review the legislation as it is on legal aid? I'm not saying they should, I'm not saying they shouldn't, but it's a consideration.
Let's go to Jesse in Ballycastle. Good morning to you, Jesse.
Good morning, Vinny.
Go ahead.
Vinny, you know, I think she should be given legal aid. At least she should be given the chance. I mean, we of all people in this small island know what troubles are like and how easy it has been for youngsters to get involved in things that their mothers and fathers wouldn't like them involved in. Thankfully, I have four children. I've never had any bother. But I just think, bring her back, bring her baby back, nobody else, keep her in tag for 15 years if she has to be.
Yeah, her baby has actually died. She's had three children and they have all died. Her last baby was a boy called Jara, and he died of pneumonia in March. I think he was about 3 weeks old whenever he died of pneumonia.
Well, I think all the more reason then she needs to be with her mum and dad. She does. She was 15. She was groomed. We've all had other people on that's been groomed. Grooming wasn't done whenever we were growing up. We were just told, you hung around with such and such, right, this is it, you take that gun and you take that gun and you're fighting for this and you're fighting for that. So, no, I just think they should bring her home, give her a chance.
Okay, Jesse, thank you. Last call on this for now. Anthony in Bessbrook. Good morning, Anthony.
Good morning, Anthony.
Go ahead.
Listen, I've listened to this now, and according to the reports I hear on the television, that this procedure that to get this wee girl over back home again is going to take between 2 and 3 years. Now, we know she's done wrong, but at the end of the day, I think she has suffered enough for losing 3 wee children. And I think that the British government should allow the wee girl to come home, keep an eye on her. She'll not do much harm when she comes home, and I'm sure she's very sorry for what she's done. And that's my opinion of it.
Okay.
And it would save an awful lot of money for all this legal aid business. And it's only a matter of saying a bit of paper and say, come on home and keep an eye on her.
I know you're talking about saving money when it comes to legal aid, but do you think going down the route you've suggested that would save money, or would that also cost the taxpayer?
It doesn't cost the taxpayer any money. If the Home Secretary or whoever's in charge of it all just gives the word to get her home, and all the money
even that suggestion of getting them to bring her home and to support her here in some way, that would cost money, and that will come from the taxpayer.
Well, it'll come from the taxpayer, surely. Everything comes from the taxpayer.
Okay, Anthony, we'll leave it at that, but thank you very much for your call. Andre Murphy, thank you, and Gerry Hayes, thank you very much.